Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
You're now listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are rewatching Sex and the City for the first time ever, mostly. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Siever. Oh, man.
We got some stuff to talk about today. We really do.
Corey, you're spicy today.
What is better? Dating? Wait, there's three things. Would you rather date? Would you rather hang out? Or would you rather...
discuss issues. What do you want to do? Do you want to discuss issues?
We're chatting issues here.
We're chatting issues. We were just talking in the pre-cord about dating. And you know, like some of you are married, but like, you know, about like dating is fun, but also it's fun to hang out. That's what we were saying. It's fun. Yeah. Like,
but also, do you know what's interesting about what just happened? We just had a great friend bit before the episode happened.
Yeah.
And this episode is about premature ejaculation. And we want to assure you that even though we had a little bit of humor ejaculating before from our mouths before.
It was just pre-cum.
Yeah. We can do round two with our listeners. Always down for round two with our listeners.
Always down for round two. Yeah. Thing is, like,
our refractory period is over.
Listen, after you get the first one out, then you're good to go for a while. You show up for round two, three, four, whatever. Come on. It's just the first part that is like, it's the first part that like may or may not finish the movie or whatever analogy you want to give, you know? Things might hop out the gate a little more, but then once the jitters are out, once the jitters are on the titters, then we're ready to go.
Dude, if we ever make merch, once the jitters are on the titters, we're ready to go.
There you go. What is a titter? Is a titter like titters? Does that mean like nerves? Like I have a couple titters. What is that? Isn't that a British thing for nerves or something like that?
I think it's an American thing for tits.
I feel like Kevin's the local Brit expert. Kevin, what does it mean?
I know what it is. Yeah.
Is it a bird?
Nope. I know what it is.
Is it like a warbler?
Ooh, a warbler. A red-breasted warbler?
Yeah.
Dude, I love red breasts.
A titter is a laugh. Titter is a laugh.
It's a British laugh, so it's like, oh.
that was British butthead right there.
Beavis, I want to have a pint with you, Beavis.
Dude, what about the Scottish? Remember the Scottish guy? When's he coming up? He's awesome.
What is it? Is it? Oh, that's like
McDougal.
It's at Trace, a wedding or something.
It's at a McDougal.
McDougal.
Yeah.
McDougal.
This is the best fucking podcast out there. There's one podcast for every person in America, and we have the fucking best one. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It feels really good.
It feels really good
to have come this far.
I bet if you put a year and a half into wasting your time on Brené Brown's podcast, and then you find this one, you're like, what was all that shit?
Yeah.
She's like, you should emote, you should feel your feelings and forgive others. Fuck off.
She's like,
talk about pre-cum, Brené.
Exactly.
We got red tits on the episode.
Come on, we're talking
what's
about
a titter mean?
Talking about titters and jitters, Brené Brown. Meanwhile, she's like, I'm from Texas. Talk about your feelings and drink a Topo Chico.
Shut up.
Why don't you go text Oprah?
Yeah,
no, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Michael Barbaro.
Michael Barbaro. His podcast like, is garbage.
Ooh, we're going to talk about one issue each time. We do one entire episode.
Yeah.
Okay, we do four. We do four issues each time. Yeah, he does one in-depth story. We cover four storylines each episode. And his episodes are only like a half hour.
Yeah, we're like also, This American Life, but good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Act one, get a better podcast.
Shut up. Shut up. Dude, if we have Michael Barbaro on this podcast, he's going to be like, oh, I've never been on a Sex and the City podcast before. And we're like, yeah, we're not here to hear your thoughts on Sex and the City. The Daily sucks, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Your podcast sucks, Michael.
I love The Daily. I listen to it when I run.
Do you really?
I never miss This American Life.
Really?
Holy cow.
This American Life is long.
Dude, I used to listen to that when I delivered pizza.
Oh, yeah?
On actual just Chicago public radio.
That's awesome.
I would get so steamed when I'd have to go in to like drop off the pizza and like miss a really good part of the story.
Hey, it makes me so steamed.
That's what I thought too.
Is that from a song?
Pizza. Oh,
weekend.
It's just pizza.
Waking for the weekend.
Is that
Mondays?
Bjork?
Oh, Mondays. Ooh, they get me so steamed.
What is that?
It's from one of the greatest SNL sketches of Will Ferrell ever. It's him and Garth Brooks when he plays the devil.
Ah, yes, yes.
Didn't you deliver a pizza to John Hughes' house? Is that what we're talking about?
All the time. All the time.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I deliver pizza to him. I deliver pizza to Ina Garten. I didn't know.
Really? To the Barefoot Contessa?
She was wearing a sweatshirt that said Barefoot Contessa on it.
That's amazing.
I loved delivering pizza. If I ever get like wealthy enough to not have to work my normal job,
yeah,
I will 100% deliver pizza again. It was so fun. You just drive around. I'm talking about delivering pizza in like the suburbs. I think it would be stressful in New York City.
It'd be so stressful in New York City.
If you're like in the suburbs and especially now that you have GPS, like I used to have to write down on the back of the receipts directions on how to get to someone's house. Now you just put it in your GPS and you just cruise. You listen to podcasts. You can talk to people on your Bluetooth. It's the best gig in the world.
Modern Sex in the City episode. Samantha has sex with an Uber with a DoorDash person.
Oh, yeah.
Current.
I feel like they could also do she leaves like her underwear in an Uber and then like has to figure out how to get it back.
Well, that'd be good. I'm just thinking with like it used to just be pizza delivery guys. Now everyone is a delivery guy for all food. So it's like she wouldn't just have sex with the pizza delivery guy. It'd be a server.
Yeah,
it'd basically be a DoorDash or an Uber Eats person.
What if she is like has this thing where she's like trying to save money, and so she ends up being like, my tip is taking their tip, and she does that for like a Uber Eats person, and then like by the end of the episode, she's just like she's slept with like seven app people, and she's like, I have to stop this because I'm just screwing all the people on all the apps.
Honey, app people give the best head. She just like comes up with a reason why app people. She's like, she's banging her Task Rabbit.
He can task grab it all night long.
Ask Jeeves. No, that was a website. Isn't there like some sort of like laundry service called Jeeves?
There's one called Handy. There used to be a home cleaning place called Handy. That one just writes itself.
How come every single like service-based app is a Samantha joke? We have Task Rabbit. We have Handy. What else is there?
There's
Airbnb pussy.
There you go. There's that one.
Air D in my B.
D in my P. Which you could do either.
D and my V. Air D and
I'm trying to think of other. I mean, trying to think of other who.
trying to think of other.
Other apps. You just start reading all the apps that you have.
I know.
I don't have many delivery
Spotify
apps.
I have just seamless, creamless.
Creamless?
Yeah. Creamless, but it's they only do bagels, like plain bagels.
Yeah, they do cannolis with no filling in the middle.
I'm pretty sure there's a solid Zabar's reference in this episode, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think there is. Yeah.
Which makes me very hungry.
God, love Zabar's. All right.
I can't think of any other good Samantha apps.
Let's
Well, this episode came out on September 12th, 1999. 2 days after Corey's birthday. Corey, this was 2 days after your birthday this episode came out.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, that's crazy. Think about it. I'd love a full recap of what you're doing.
All right, let me give it some thought. Keep going, Kevin.
Probably skateboarding first.
I was probably thrashing. I was really into pull and peel Twizzlers at that point in my life. Remember pull and peel Twizzlers?
You're probably pulling and peeling. Dude, you're still a licorice daddy.
Oh, dude, I love licorice. My licorice tastes are kind of the same as like someone who started drinking alcohol by like drinking wine coolers. And now they're just like, I like a very peaty scotch. Mine are like, mine started with like some pull and peel Twizzlers. And now like, I love a semi-soft, semi-hard salted licorice. Salted penis. Yeah.
A semi-soft, semi-hard penis.
Yes.
Well,
peaty scotch, penis-y scotch. Well, let's see. In 11 minutes, we've gone through all the apps. We wrote a B story for Samantha. Yeah. And then we took down tons of other podcasts. Yeah. We shouted at Brené Brown.
Today, we watch an episode of Sex in the City.
I'm going to work on my Barbaro.
You have a very good Barbaro.
I had a cold lately, so I have to get into it. So we'll see.
I got you.
All right, we're going to watch
Shortcomings.
Shortcomings?
Shortcomings.
Let's watch Shortcomings.
Yeah. Shortcomings.
Katie, talk to us.
Yeah, Katie, take it away.
Episode 27, Shortcomings. Carrie dates an author who has a premature ejaculation problem and finds that she regrets having to break up with his perfect family. Child-phobic Miranda dates a divorced father who has a son. Charlotte's brother Wesley stays with her after his wife leaves him. And Samantha gives him exactly what he needs, sex. And now, back to the boys.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
All right, and we're back. Short.
Welcome Cummings. Back to the pod. Short
Man, Cummings. They really get that title. I mean, that title, you're like, oh, Shortcomings. Haha, that's funny. That's totally what it's about. Totally what it's about.
Man, I remember back in the day with, I feel like premature ejaculation was like a bit, that was a very popular thing in middle school and high school.
like for other kids to make fun of? Or just
no,
like,
just
like
to have.
You were like, no, it was just you're a bit. I don't get what
just
you're saying.
Experience. just like literally Justin Theroux ejaculating early, just like remind me of like, you know, like what it was like to be in middle school and high school. Whether with a girl or by myself, it was just like, you could just like flip through and see the Christina Aguilera dirty video for 30 seconds and like rub against a couch for four of those seconds and be like, oh gosh.
And that is what I think the plot of Just Like That is going to be. It's going to be Miranda just decrustifying her sofa that Brady rubs up against.
Oh,
while watching WAP.
Oh, mm-hmm. our follower Kat Carrar, shout out Kat. She said that we should call Bingo and Just Like That Bingo, we should call it Cosmo.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's a great idea. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
C-O-S-M-O.
Yeah, and we can make one each week for each episode.
I love that. We need to really do that. Yeah. We have some time.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Which storyline should we start with? First of all, one of my favorite, I mean, I remember this. I was so excited. I wish there was a whole movie or something about that family because they're just so good.
Dude, yeah. It's really fun. I mean, obviously it's really fun watching this show again, but now that I'm starting to like remember some of these episodes really well. And like also like remembering where we were and what we were doing the first time that we saw them. But this is like one of those episodes where it's like, I almost remember every scene of this episode from the first time we watched it. And that's crazy. Cause that was like, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super exciting.
And it was, yeah, just so fun. Such like a good, it was just great. Also a few iconic outfits in this too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker had, I don't know what that dress is called, but it's just called the perfect body dress.
The one at the very end of the episode when she like knocks on the window.
Dude, it makes no sense.
It's so funny seeing stuff that you see all the time. Like that's like one of the most popular like Instagram pictures. It's like a meme of like when you see your friends, people use it when she just goes up and is like waving with the glasses in the window.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a, people use it as a meme for lots of things. And I'm like, oh, it's crazy. That's where that meme came from.
Yeah, totally.
It's insane. What storyline do you want to start with? We have, of course, Carrie and Von Wiesel and the Wiesel family. Mm-hmm. We have Charlotte and Samantha kind of have the same storyline with their brother. Or we have Miranda and the married man with a kid who I will say we've all been members at New York Sports Club at one time, right? You guys used to go to classes with Katie before we were engaged,
yeah.
Right?
We went to that one. Oh, yeah. And I was members at another one time too. I was members at one before I moved to Brooklyn. So yeah, we've been there. New York Sports Club, I feel like was like the hot gym at one point.
Totally. Until What's the
Equinox
came?
Yeah, and just Equinox. Like, yeah,
dude, I'll tell you what. I don't live by an Equinox right now, but I was a member of Equinox a few years back when I worked by one. And if there was an Equinox in my neighborhood, that's like the easiest money I've ever spent in my life. I know it's expensive. I know it's a lot, but I go to the gym quite a bit, and the amenities that they have at Equinox, the clean equipment, it's just like take my however much $275 a month. I don't care. It is. They are so incredibly nice. I really like Equinox.
As someone who's never been in an Equinox and who who was like a Philistine of gyms, I've joined. I was a member of I forget what it's called, Blink, which was like $12 a month, which is not a bad.
It's very different than Equinox.
Very different Equinox. Blink was great for what it was, you know, but yeah, very very different than Equinox. What tell me like what is so good about it. I know about the
eucalyptus scent and towels. Like eucalyptus scent and towels.
Yep.
The equipment is always like pristine condition. It's always like they have people cleaning it a lot. Really nice equipment that's like really well taken care of. Mm-hmm. You have like a steam room and a sauna, at least the one that I went to. You have a pool that's like really nice and well kept. I think it was a saltwater pool, so you're not getting the chlorine. And
that's
just like
awesome.
Friendly staff. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I just like, the only bad part of Equinox is I was 100% the most out of shape person every single time I went to the gym. And so there's some self-confidence issues that I went through. Mm-hmm. But it is a magical place.
It seems like you're describing, I'm a currently member of the Y and they have all of those amenities. I just guarantee you they're not as nice.
Do they have eucalyptus scented towels?
They don't. They have towels, but they're not eucalyptus scented.
They
have a pool. It's a great pool.
Scented?
Are they what? Are they cool?
I'm going to YMCA not for the workout machines. I'm going there to hang out with other young men, young Christian
Absolutely.
Men.
Absolutely.
I mean, the nice thing about the YMCA here is it is the Young Men's Christian Association, but it's also just a lot of families and a lot of people that have just lived in New York forever. It's a lot
and
of the
Bill de Blasio.
Yeah, and de Blasio is
He goes
too.
To the YMCA?
He doesn't want to Park
yeah,
Slope.
Yeah, he goes to the one on Ninth Street in Park Slope.
Oh.
And people like across the street, sometimes you'll see him walk out and there'll be like someone like a construction worker or someone that'll just be like, "You suck."
I yelled at him on a train once. He was trying to film a video and I like started screaming at him because there was construction outside my house at 3 a.m. for like months. And I started screaming at him.
What an absolute.
His like staffer was like, "Sir, you need to keep it down." I was like, "I'm not going to keep it down until someone fixes my apartment," even though I had to get off in a couple blocks. And I just kept on freaking out. And finally, the guy gave me his card. And do you know where I was going when that happened? I was going to be your co-counsel when you went to sue your landlord.
Oh,
I was taking the R train to City
Hall. That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's awesome. My co-counsel.
So,
man. My co-counsel, John.
Yeah, your co-counsel that got written out of your comedy special that you talked about, your lawsuit.
It's not the final product yet, bro.
I never saw kids at like the New York Sports Club that I went to. Is that a thing that they like do like kids days or like kids? Do they like let families come in and just like be like tossing balls and stuff around the gym? Was that a thing in New York?
Maybe so.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be like an out of the ordinary type thing in the episode, right?
Right.
I guarantee you it's like everything has happened.
Right.
I'm sure I could totally imagine that happening. And that's kind of, to be honest, that's like the only way to have an in into flirting, because I feel like gym, unless like people are laying it on strong, I feel like that's not a safe place to ask people out. Cause everybody is kind of like, you know, like it's not a safe place to ask people out. Cause it could be like, I'm just here to work out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think has anyone ever asked someone out of the gym and had to be successful?
I mean, that's like always the thing that people talk about. Like, yeah, Springsteen, his was real successful. That was a joke Kevin and I always wanted to make work and it never worked. It was tell the story, Kevin. Let's see if we can make it work.
It was
now.
About how Bruce Springsteen told a girl she had a nice ass while she was like on a step machine. And this came out in like a divorce deposition from the other person. And then Bruce Springsteen had to acknowledge it, but it was like, and she like turned around. It was Bruce Springsteen. So that Corey and I would always just joke about like, how did she know it was Bruce Springsteen? Like,
and it would
unless he like said it in a Bruce Springsteen voice.
Right. Like you just hear like a,
I see all that stepper right there. Hey, you got a nice ass.
And she'd be like, "What?" And it'd just be him. And he'd be like, "Sorry, I was going over to do some dips. I got a podcast with Brock later."
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's how she knew.
Yeah, I mean, I know lots of people. I feel like here's the thing: we're like three good looking dudes, but we're not good looking enough to have. Yeah. In the grand scheme of things.
We're just not working out at a gym
asking a girl out hot. And those people usually lack a little in personality, and they're just like, they're trying to get a six pack and they're like looking for other people at their hot level to have sex with, because that's the only place that they feel comfortable is at the gym, because they don't have that much else going on in their life besides working out. So I feel like you emanate that out and then people find each other. But I'm at the gym to just keep the pudge at a minimum. So I'm not in a sexual mood or a flirtatious mood at the gym, because I'm like, I don't have a six pack. I'm just like keeping the pudge workable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to think about that some more.
I think I get
what you're saying.
Yeah. I think it's more just that, you know, it's a weird space to, it's a weird, we talked about this on a previous podcast too, where Kevin and I were out to dinner and I asked, we had a connection with our waitress and I was like, hey, do you want to get a drink with us afterward? And it's like that kind of thing, which like that was totally fine until the bar shut down. And then I went back and said, we're going to another bar. I'm not finished. You shut up. I'll pile drive you at the gym. All right. But what I was going to say is, that was a totally fine interaction. It was great. But it's like the same kind of deal where like, it's just people are at a gym to work out, people are at a restaurant to eat. You're mixing. It could be a little shit where you eat conversation in both scenarios. That's totally what I'm saying.
But what I think is interesting about your thing is that your comfort is food and banter. So that's what set you off. You're a good conversationalist and you know about food. So that's what set you off into being like, ooh, we have a connection. I don't necessarily think we would feel that at the gym, because that's not the place that you feel most in your element. So that's why you may feel that more with a bartender or a waitress, right? Whereas someone who is like physicality is their thing and being fit is their thing, they may feel very much in the zone and feel flirtatious vibes in a way that we wouldn't, because that's not, even though we go to the gym, that's not like where we feel most at home.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You're chatting about orange wine. You're just like, man, this is like, I'm killing it. And she's into this. And she was.
True.
Yeah, that's a good, what is, someone, speaking of that, someone asked a question of like, if you had got, someone gave you $1 million, if you right now turned around and gave an 8-hour lecture on something, what would be the subject that you'd do it on?
Wow. How much are they giving me? What are the details?
You get $1 million, but you have to like right now, this second, give a lecture on a topic for 8 hours.
Jeez.
Is there anything that you can do, or you just mine would be how much I hate New York City fireworks at starting July 25th all the way through, or June 25th all the way through the rest of July. I'm sure you guys can probably hear the fireworks that are going off in Brooklyn right now.
Yeah, you still have some? I haven't had any go off, but I've been gone.
We have all hours of the night.
Oh wow.
I feel like, of course, yours could be like food, wine.
Yeah, probably. I could do food. I could also do the evolution of late 80s to 90s skateboarding through the early 2000s. I don't know. It'd be a niche audience, but I could probably do that. Can you have notes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, you have to do it right now. So whatever notes you have on your body, your person right now.
I have a book that Kevin gave me about a skateboarder.
just read that book.
I always read that book. Yeah. Yeah, I could do that. I could maybe do some food stuff. What about you, Kevin?
I could do it about probably a few things. I have like niche like artists that I'm into. Supreme Court, Bob Dylan, Woody Allen, Sex and the City. I could do it about
Sex and the City.
I could get to that one before you, and you guys could be my guest lecturers, and then you get $250,000. You split that.
I'm into that.
I get 500.
I mean, this kind of does tie in with the conversation that Von Wiesel's mother has with Carrie, about how she is kind of part of the zeitgeist. She is a voice, and how important her her work is for New York.
I think this was a cool episode for that reason, that it was like you kind of got a little more detail of context of like Carrie Bradshaw's influence. It like just became a little clearer to be like, oh wow, like people know about this. And exactly what Valerie Harper, shout out to Mona. Yeah. Is she Mona or Rona? In
she was in
what's it called?
Is this the mother?
She was whoever she. Yeah, she was in what was that, the redheaded, the beautiful Mary Tyler Moore show. I believe she was she was Mary Tyler Moore's best friend. And Rhoda. It was a big thing. Rhoda. She was you were either into Mary Tyler Moore or you were into Rhoda. And I'll tell you what, my dad, he said multiple times he was into Rhoda.
Wow.
Really? He's a Rhoda guy.
He's into Rhoda. But so yeah, she's like, she's epic, but she just the way that she talked about Carrie Bradshaw was like, oh yeah, that's kind of like, it's kind of meta, but it is, it was what the show is, but also what Carrie Bradshaw is. And you got a little bit of look into like, oh cool. Like she's starting the conversation each week. She's like part of the water cooler conversation back when there was offices.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's since we're already talking about that, let's just jump into that family conversation, that whole dating conversation. First of all, second time we've seen Thoreau in the series. And I got to say, I wish we saw him three more times. I love a good Thoreau. I love ten a more thorough times. Thoreau. Yeah, he was fantastic.
I'll do 10 more times.
All right. I go 10. Yeah.
I think that he should be Samantha in the new series.
That would be amazing. That'd be great. I totally agree with that. He's in Samantha face the whole time. Yeah.
They deep fake Samantha into it. Kevin's just holding a picture up of Rhoda.
That's like someone coming back to the table after.
I actually saw what was crazy about that is I saw, you know, like when you can see someone else's screen. It was actually saved as a bookmark on his screen. It was just Rhoda Fapp file. And it was very easy for you to find that picture.
I know he doesn't listen to this podcast, so I can say this, but that's from Rhoda, the sexy picture of Rhoda. There's a 95% chance my dad masturbated to that picture 50 years ago, 45 years ago.
So he
Let's
had
get
to
him
go
on the
get
phone
the...
and ask him. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were part of the Wiesel family, that would just be a normal Sunday afternoon chit chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would just be like, oh, that's great. That's healthy.
And be like, let's just talk about that. Yeah, totally. So what did you, okay. Like they start dating. Here's a question for both of you. Mm-hmm. Two things. How soon, what's an appropriate time when you have just started dating someone for them to meet your friends, and what's an appropriate time for them to meet your family?
This isn't going to be an interesting conversation. I'll tell you why. I'm going to preface it because I feel like Kevin comes in very early with the meeting of the friends. And I
very
appreciate
early.
That.
He does come in very, very early. I thought about it when I was watching this episode.
Yeah. Kevin like will introduce you to a girlfriend of his way earlier than I did. Like I would say Katie, I kept her. Like I purposely didn't introduce her to any of my friends for probably, I want to talk to her, but probably 6 months, 7 months, maybe.
She was hideous back then.
Wow.
It was before you gotten her all that surgery. She looked
totally,
horrible. Yeah.
Totally.
She was a freak.
Yeah.
Thank you for not doing it.
It was hard.
It would have given me nightmares.
Maybe it wasn't that long. It was quite a long time though. Cause I felt like that's a big deal, and I didn't want to just like bring around a person and then have them not be around anymore. But
yeah,
Kevin, you come in fast and frequent, and I want to hear what you think
my
is acceptable amount of time.
Yeah.
What's your philosophy?
I think date three or four is like early. I you know, I think if you have a, connection, I mean, I think of it this way. I wasn't always like that, but I think of it this way, that it's like my friends are an important part of my life, and dating turned into a thing that, you know, you're trying to squeeze lots of things in. And I think after a few years of dating and friends being separate, I was like, killing two birds with one stone. This is like, this is a barrier to jump over to see how this person is with my friends. And so, and also I don't want to have to like miss certain things and have to choose between certain things. So I guess it's like the person that I end up with, I want to be able to click with my friends, and that's something that I'd rather not put off. And also there's just so much to do in New York that it's like, if, you know, if it's like a mutual party or a mutual thing, it's like, we'll come to this and like, we'll see how it goes. So that's where it's at mentally. Do you think there's like a negative end to it?
No, I think if I dated again, I would bring my significant around sooner than I have in the past, partly because of like, I think you do that really well. Like you bring people around, you like bring them to a social event. And then something else you always do really well, this is a compliment, Kevin podcast, is you like, you stay like decent friends with a lot of your like ex-girlfriends too, you know? And I think that might have something to do with it. And I know a few ex-girlfriends in particular who like have now like joined the like friend group and are friends with other friends in our groups. So like, I think you have a really good, mature understanding of the, I don't know, the timing in relationships.
Yeah, but I don't like them hanging around. Gotta be honest. I don't like them hanging around.
Let's clean them up.
You want them out.
No, I think you asked if there's a negative. I don't think there's a negative. Well, I guess it's like, it's tough because like there's a weird part of dating where, I think we've talked about this, Kevin, like there's sometimes a weird part of dating where you're taking time out, you're to possibly be like, I don't know, maybe there's a chance with this person and like I'll end up spending way more time with them, but you are taking time away from like the comfortable side of your life and friends sometimes already. And so I guess the negative side of it could be that it could be negative for you if you like bring a person around and then all of a sudden something happens, you're not together, and then you got to have the awkward conversation of like, oh, well, this didn't work out or whatever, which is not bad. That's just like what life is, you know. Yeah. But like, so I don't know if that's a negative. I guess another thing could be sometimes if you bring a lot of people around really early on and then nothing works out, people could be like, oh, cool, like another random
boy, the
person.
Cried wolf. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But something like that. But I guess those would be the only negatives I would see.
Well,
that has happened.
I guess
that has happened to friends of mine who like have brought around a lot of girls really like over and over again, and then I meet them and I'm just like kind of not really cold, but just like I don't want to get invested in this person because I know they're not going to be here at the next party.
Yeah.
And then like that's also not, I don't like doing that because I want to put on my best face and know the person and be friendly to them. So it's interesting.
Yeah. I think one of the differences between that, cause like I've thought about that before, that I'm like, is like, you know, realizing like we're all on a mission for dating, you know, people have different missions. And if your mission is to like, oh, I'm out to get pussy or whatever, like you can kind of smell that when someone always like has a new person around. But one of the cool parts about gorgeous baby face, I didn't mean
it's a great word choice. You're
you
like
can, you can sniff that out.
Yeah, you really can. Like, wow, no, that dude.
But no, but or I think one of the better perspectives on dating that like is like you're trying to get to know a person and do fun, interesting things. And thankfully we have like a fun, interesting friend group that do fun, interesting things. And it's like, I think that's why some people have remained friends. Cause it's like, oh wow. Like this is, what is dating besides like connecting with different people? And that can be viewed more as a positive than always like, all right, if you don't get marriage out of it, then it's a failure, you know?
Which is
good. And then also, but I do think if there is a negative, it's kind of presented in the episode, which is like, it can be disappointing for her to get close with this cool family and then not get to experience the, you know, fruits of being in that family, which is probably maybe not negative, but it's like,
is it better to have loved and lost? Ends up being a bummer. Better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. It's like, I think her life is better to have known that mother and to experience the fandom and to meet the father and family. But you're right that it does. The more people that get folded into your relationship, the stickier and harder it becomes to end the relationship if that's what you want to do.
Yes, that is true.
Dude, yeah. Have you heard the horrible youth group? I think it was like a youth group type analogy, but it was like every person's a piece of duct tape. And like each person you date, you have to stick to them and then you like peel it away. And then after a while, you're just not sticky anymore and no one will want to be with you. Yeah. It's so horrible. So
then you're just like a leathery, tough thing that can't stick to anything. You're just like fibers that are very tough, but the nothing will stick to you.
Just that's a great. Useless.
That's terrible. That's awesome.
That's awesome. I love
that's
that.
That's awesome. That's great. That's a good analogy.
The youth pastor that came up with an analogy, like, thought he was like so proud of himself, you know?
Yeah.
He called his other youth group.
And then he just like hurts.
And then he just like
causes deep pain to so many people who've been in trouble.
Millions of kids.
Yeah.
And he's probably sleeping right now being like, I did so much good in this world. And there's just all these fucked up 30-something-year-old kids that heard that analogy from that person. So good job, guy.
And they're just like, I dated six people and they broke up with me and now I'm just a useless piece of trash.
No, I'm just a flimsy piece of duct tape with shit all over it.
In a revenge movie, what happens is like those people all end up randomly meeting at the same bar one night and they're all dejected and like two of them try to hook up and then you're like, you know what? I'm not going to hook up. And they're like, just make out with me, please. It's like, no, I have to make a change. They're like, why do you have to make a change? And then they do the duct tape analogy and they're like, wait, where'd you hear that? And then they all realize they heard the same analogy and then they go to that dude's house and they wrap him in duct tape over and over and over and over and they throw him off a bridge.
Heck yeah, that's the Tarantino version.
That's the Tarantino version.
Dude, Tape.
That's
Tarantino,
awesome.
Tarantino's new movie, Tape.
Tape. Yeah, it's called Fuck Tape.
Oh my gosh, Tape.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of Hell Houses? I'm sure some of our listeners have.
Yeah, Hell Houses.
Dude, I wish those things didn't exist where I grew up. How they need to do like a Tarantino type like horror movie of like a.
There's been movies actual, called. There's a documentary called Hell House. Yeah.
Shut up, John. No original idea over here.
No, we should watch it.
No, I'm just telling myself to shut up. It's already been thought of. Next idea.
Bro.
On to the next one.
On to the next storyline.
On to the next storyline. Samantha fucks Charlotte's.
On the next storyline. Is it
brother?
How soon?
Never saw that one coming.
How soon is too soon to have sex with your friend's sibling?
How soon is
Man, if only someone in this video feed had any experience with that.
Yeah, this rewatch. I wonder what's happened in the past 3 years since this rewatch.
Oh man. Oh, I'm sorry. I had sex with your brother, man. John. I'm sorry. I had sex with your brother, John. Sorry, I did it.
Yeah,
broke up his marriage.
I don't think it's something we can talk about on the pod, but someone's sibling got fucked.
Oh man.
If you can see how red our faces are right now. Okay. Next plot.
I mean, we really aren't able to get into literally any of the details of this.
Of whatever happened.
I will just say that siblings like that I get I connect with Charlotte. I get it.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. Well, I was curious about it when it was happening. I can't pedal us out of here, but we can dive deeper. I mean, like, when people are consenting adults, you know, he was,
yeah,
like
100%.
Well, this is more about the show, but like, he's like, Charlotte, listen, I'm
no,
not
no,
going
no,
back.
Totally. Of course. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cause there's a moment where I was like, it's not, I would be pissed if I were Charlotte. Where do you draw the line? Where do you say like, hey, you know what? You're an adult. I think the line is drawn when your friend wakes up in your apartment, when you go to get coffee and your friend is there. I think you are owed a text to say,
my
this
question
is going
is,
down wanna, or I'm staying over.
I want to like, do you think Samantha did it for the reason that Charlotte concludes? Or do you think Samantha was like, here's a divorced man who's hurting and he just needs this physical release and I'm going to be that person? Or do you think Samantha's just like, I'm going to bang this guy because he's hot? Because I'm not convinced that she like did it for any other reason other than for herself, but I could be convinced otherwise.
Yeah, I think she did it for herself. You saw when she showed up.
Does she have a line or does she talk about it or anything? Maybe if you're attracted to someone, you're like, man, they need to get laid. And she's like, I'm happy to be that person.
No, they don't really have a line.
They don't really have a line. I think he provides those lines at the end where he's just like, look, this is what I needed. I was in a sexless marriage. This is what I needed. But when she shows up, she's just like, you know, when she shows up, she's like making eyes at him. And then she's like, why did you bring her? She's like, she's our friend. What do you mean? But like Samantha's like on the prowl when she gets there.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's
she's always on the prowl, though.
Yeah, it's true.
You have to imagine that. You have to imagine that she can just sniff out. She can just sniff out like a divorced guy, like you know what I mean? Like she,
oh, she's, dude,
how many
she's
people has she had
that.
Sex with that just have to be? Yeah, oh. She's just like, there's something right around the corner.
What's that? Is that a rebound technically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
listen,
she's okay being a rebound.
I think she's a very comfortable person being lots of people's rebounds, and she's comfortable with everything, but you have to imagine a lot of the people that are out trying to sleep with people like at bars and restaurants and meeting people in that way, you have to imagine like the majority of them are in some sort of rebound situation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
totally. I mean, everyone
so she's
got
to be. So Dennis Rod, she's the Dennis Rodman of the dating scene in New York City.
Yeah, I think everyone's in some sort of rebound. Like we all have emotional shit that happens, and we're either going up for a layup or we're rebounding. It's one of those two. So
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I think
I think any two consenting adults can have sex with each other, but if it is your sibling, you're right to be less than pleased with the results of the situation.
So yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
I think Charlotte was right to, and I don't think you should lash out and say hurtful things. I think you should say, keep it to how it made you feel and then deal with the fallout of that. Over two glasses of wine at Brookvin in Park Slope and ask them to pay for the bill. And then you'll just say, you know what? It's all water on the bridge now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some very generic advice for anyone dealing with this out there. Okay. Just take it for what it is. Take it for what it is.
I was watching this episode. I was like, I did not remember the storyline, but boy, life comes at you fast when you're doing a podcast.
Oh, man. That's like when the mirror is just held up to you. And you're like, and I mean, imagine if I saw it, imagine how much it could be felt at other places in the world. If I was like, oh yeah, I relate to this. Wow.
Well,
what else happened in this episode?
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. That's it. That's all the time we have. Did we miss anything else? We talked about Fontenoy, we talked about New York Sports Club and Equinox when Kevin got disconnected for a while and I tried to sell everyone on Equinox. We talked about the brother situation.
There's an Equinox. There's something about Equinox at one of the airport lounges that John and I were talking about. And I think I'm going to try to go there next time I fly. I think there's an Equinox like closet at the airport lounge with some good towels and like a rowing machine. So
dude, maybe check it out. Yeah.
If you're an Equinox person, write into the pod and tell us how great Equinox is.
And if you think it's the biggest waste of money and I'm an idiot, then tell me that too. But you know, I'm down with it. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you all being here. If you haven't yet, check out our Patreon, where you can get access to an additional episode every single week. All of the even episodes are done on Patreon. Give us a follow on Instagram or Facebook. You can look us up on TikTok. We don't have one, but you can still look us up. We do have a TikTok. Awesome.
I just don't post on it, but yeah.
Well, check it out anyway. And we love you all so much.
Why not?
Thank you so much for tuning in. Give us some a rating on iTunes and all that good jazz. And we will see you all next week. What do we got? What a mess.
And by the time we record by the time the next episode comes out, there could potentially be an extra Bradshaw boy in the universe.
We are in
code 9 any day now. We are waiting patiently to meet the fourth Bradshaw boy. So
cannot wait.
We'll throw Jeremy. Jeremy's a Bradshaw boy. Katie's a Bradshaw babe. So you know this will be number six
in the Bradshaw family.
In the Bradshaw fam. Mm. So yeah, we'll let you know. We'll post a pic as soon as the baby Bradshaw boy is born.
All right.
Later, taters.
Later, taters.
Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.